Hey, what's up? Welcome to Married Life. I'm Joe.
Hey, I'm Chrissy.
And today we are going to talk about sex. That's it. We're just going to get right to it. What does that look like in your marriage to help you out? Now, if you guys have questions and you're on TikTok right now, you can put those down when it regards sex and marriage, because we're going to hit on it. We're going to talk about it. And then obviously, if you're listening to the podcast, you can't ask a question right now, but you can always go follow us on TikTok, on Instagram, and message us questions there. And then also, if you are on the podcast right now, you can go ahead and rate and review this, give it a thumbs up, like it, whatever that looks like on your podcast that you listen to. So let's talk about sex, because there's often I would say not a discrepancy, but a difference of how often usually one spouse wants it over the other. Mm-hmm. And so even what Chrissy and I have found in marriage is this is such an important conversation. And so one of the most important things about sex is communication before sex.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Well, it's not just communication. It's just, it's very multi-leveled. There's respect and trust and communication. There's so much more to it than I think people talk about. They talk about all the details of like in the bedroom, but you have to make sure that you set yourself up for a win all day long. And so I think we're going to dive a little bit deeper into that before we even get into the bedroom.
Right, exactly. Because there's a lot of setup, like you just said. When you think of a sport, like right now, we literally record this right outside of the Chargers training facility. They are not just jumping into the game on NFL Sunday. Mm. You know, like they are practicing, they are putting in the work, they're learning the schemes, everything beforehand. And it's so much with our relationship. But what happens a lot of times is that if you're not focus on purity and really a Christian lifestyle before marriage, you obviously, a lot of people usually sleep with somebody.
Yeah.
And so what happens is you begin to just have that mindset of, well, this is the goal, right? But actually, sex isn't just that goal. There's so many more things that go with sex to be that goal of intimacy, of communication, of trust. Mm-hmm. Like sex really builds up trust when you're doing it the right way. And so that's what we want to talk about today and what that looks like in like the pregame up to the game. And so again, right now, if you haven't followed us yet, you can hit that follow button. Follow us at The Married Life. Oh, thanks, Bobby Joe. Miss you too. You can follow us on The Married Life right now on TikTok. Go ahead, hit that plus button. Also, you can share this right now for any of your friends that are dealing with a sex life and need help. No, we are not a therapist. JDS just asked that. We are not therapists. We are not experts. We are just marriage enthusiasts. So we really believe that God created marriage for a man, for a woman, and for a purpose to glorify him, and sex is part of that. So we're going to jump into it. One of the things that Chrissy and I do, and just like she said and I was referring to, is communication is so important before you jump into the bedroom. Like Chrissy and I communicate often throughout the day, whether it is texting, whether it's talking, whether it's things that aren't even romantic, also into the romantic side. Because here's something that you guys, I mean, again, as a husband and wife, that you can focus on. Are you trying to be sexy with your spouse when it comes to texting? Like, are you trying to actually have the conversation with your spouse, again, the pregame before the bedroom, of letting them know what you're actually thinking about and thinking about them? Because so many times throughout our day, we're thinking about a million different things. But does our spouse know that we're actually thinking about them, and how do we communicate that to them?
Yeah, no, that's good. And I wanted to touch base on something that you said. Before we get married, especially if you do have sex before marriage, and we did, like we had that relationship, and it's almost like that you're just initially attracted to one another, right? And so that's what you do. You have sex with your significant other. But when you get married, the busyness of life and kids and jobs and everything gets thrown. I look like I'm mad. Focused. Everything else gets thrown into it, the stresses of life, and then it's no longer that just like physical attraction. You have so much more put into it. And so you have to almost get deeper into your relationship to get that same drive, I guess I would say, from that what you got before. And so I don't know what that means. And so that's really what we want to talk about today, getting past that like initial that initial drive, that initial attraction,
mm-hmm. yep.
and getting deeper into it.
Because you guys have heard it before, right? Like, it's like puppy love. Puppy love fades, right? But real love lasts. But real love lasts when you invest in that love. And somebody actually said, they're like, you know, you're saying simple things, but you're putting it in a way to make you sound smart. Really, not. This is simple stuff. The problem is that people don't practice simplicity. People make relationships so much harder than they need to be. People really struggle when it comes to actually an intimate sex life. And because we've talked with multiple people on this, we've been married for 13 years. We just celebrated our anniversary this past Sunday. We've done multiple sessions with marriage coaching. And what we've actually seen is how sex in marriage has decreased. And matter of fact, before we moved out here to California, we were having a conversation with some friends of ours. And they were saying that they actually have some friends that have sex once a month. I was talking with somebody, a friend of mine, and he travels for business. It gets hard, you know, being away from his spouse. And he was just telling me, he's like, man, it's going to be about 6 weeks before we have sex again. And so one of the things I even asked him was, well, does she know how much more that like you want it? He's like, no, we haven't had that conversation. I said, you should have that conversation. He had the conversation. She wanted to have more sex too. So a lot of times, even when it comes to sex, it's like there's conversations that we're not having that we need to be having.
Yeah.
So Chrissy and I have had the conversation.
Like, expectations.
Yes.
Literally, we've talked about numbers, days yep. of the week. We have to look at our schedule. Yes, it's spontaneous is great. But when when life is so busy and spontaneity isn't like available, you do have to schedule, because we do have a very busy life. And so you have to plan. Okay, well, we're gone 4 days this week. Thursday's the only day that's going to work. So it's that communication. And really, like, that's kind of sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, I'm thinking about this 6 days before we're even going to be intimate.
Yeah.
And so really having those, they're not even deep conversations, but they're important.
Yeah. So a couple of things before we jump into this more, reasons that you want to focus on sex in your marriage is, one, it bonds you together better. Like, it really does. It brings you closer to each other. It fosters a deeper intimacy. That's something that we can truly say and that we've experienced, a deeper intimacy. It builds a deeper level of communication. When you are getting so honest, open, transparent with your spouse, and again, like the Bible talks about that they were both naked and unashamed, talking about Adam and Eve, like there is such a level of communication and intimacy there. And then also, like, lastly, sex is a celebration. Like, it's a celebration of your marriage. And so it's always something to do. Now, I did see somebody said that they've been married for 10 years and they're asking, like, how can I spark up some of that flame again? Kind of like what you were saying, that gets lost.
Yeah.
One of the things that Chrissy and I do is, like I was saying, we text each other through the day. Like, we text each other sexual conversations. Literally, I'm like, I hope nobody gets on my iMac, you know, or on my MacBook, my Air, because they would be able to read our conversations, which are intimate conversations just between Chrissy and myself. And I got to tell you, ladies, for me at least, for me, so maybe your husband's like this, maybe he's not, but when Chrissy texts me sexy text messages, it gets me going. Like, it's like a new thing, you know? And so I would say trying that, and even just having that conversation of, what do you like to do? You know, like, what do you look forward to in sex? Like, being able to ask your husband that, because I'm telling you what, majority of the time, not always, but the man is often more sexually driven. And so when you're coming and you're asking him, what do you like? What are your fantasies? You know,
he's already thinking about it. He wants you to ask.
He does. He totally does.
Yeah.
And so that's something that you can do. to get that spark going again, what it looks like. Get into his mind. What would he want to talk about? And same thing, guys, maybe it's for her and that you've noticed a lack of that. And also this goes back to the conversation of how often do you think we should have sex? Like, that's a fun conversation to have, you know, because then it really gets you guys on the same page where there can actually be accountability, because this is something that we've seen in ministry so many times. When sex is not a priority, men will end up, and not just men, one of the spouses will end up finding sex somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's not with another person. Maybe it's on a computer. Maybe it's on a phone. Maybe it's via Instagram. Maybe it's just texting another person, sliding to someone else's DMs, whatever. And so that's why it's so important to have those conversations.
Yeah, there's two things that I want to say. And this is as a wife's standpoint. I'm not going to say it's just the wife, but for the majority, it is, because of the sex drive normally being, you know, more what?
They said, this TikToker says, the both of you don't even look happy. It looks like a business arrangement.
And so two things. One, it's going to be really awkward at first. Like, it's not something that comes natural, especially if it's something new to you. So if you are going to try to initiate something in a texting conversation with your spouse, if you're going to try that, for instance, it's going to be awkward at first, but just give it a little bit of time. And you'll just get used to it. It's just stuff that...
Is that what you did? Did you give it a little bit of time?
Yeah, you just, like, it's weird because you don't do it. And then you do it, and then it's fine, and it is what it is. But it's like with anything new that you try in life, you're not going to be good at it at first, and it's going to be weird and awkward. So it's just another, it's just another level of intimacy with your spouse. You know, you're trying something new with your spouse, and so... you should be able to feel weird and silly and awkward with mm-hmm. them, because, you know, it's just, it'll get you to a deeper level, I promise.
Yep.
I had a second one, but I forgot what it was. I did want to answer somebody's question. They said, how do we get rid of the little arguments within our marriage on a day-to-day basis, which I think is really important, because if you can't get rid of these, like, just bickering and fighting, you're never going to get to that intimate level with your spouse at night. If you've been fighting all day, don't expect your spouse to want to be intimate with you if that's what you're doing.
Well, and the Bible says that the little foxes spoil the vine. So yeah. It really is those little things that will come in and they will destroy something that's healthy.
Yeah.
And so it is trying to figure out, okay, how do I navigate this in a way where we have these conversations? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Keep going.
You did. And so... And what I would do, if you find you and your spouse arguing and arguing and arguing, and you can never even get to that level of intimacy with your spouse, we love vision retreats. The things that you're fighting about, you just haven't talked about. You haven't come to an agreement and said, this is what we want to do. This is the goals in our life. This is where we want to go. In a vision retreat, Jimmy Evans actually does it. You could probably make up your own if you're pretty creative, but Jimmy Evans has a really great book, and you can get it on Amazon, and it's just called Vision Retreat. It's literally the name of it. And so, you take like 2 to 3 days, you talk about everything within your marriage. When I say everything, I mean everything. You cover all of it. I'm trying to get to new things. So anyways, if you can get through that, the bickering and the little fights won't happen as often, because you've already come to a conclusion. You're not going to fight about finances, because you've already talked about it. You've already said, this is what we're doing with our finances. This is how much we want to save. This is how much we want to spend here, here, and here. And so you're not going to fight about it, because you've already come to a conclusion. And that's in every area of your marriage, your kids, your jobs, your money, extracurricular activities. And so if you can do that and get on the same page, those bickering conversations that happen every day will be extremely subsided. It's not like we don't fight and bicker, but we already know the big vision of our marriage, so they are very far and few between.
Yeah. So one of the things that we also are going to be releasing in September is an e-course that you can get on our website. Also, it'll be like in our Linktree on the married life, but one of the biggest things is when it even comes to like the fighting and everything, is that people don't understand your spouse. Your spouse is not you. I'm not Chrissy. She's not me. We have very different personalities. We have different mindsets. We have different Enneagram types. We have different love languages. There's so many things that are different about us that often I'll see something one way and she'll see another way. And so what happens is we begin to clash or we begin to pull away. What happens oftentimes in relationships is people will work like this, right? Like side by side, or they start turning and they work back to back. And that's where you don't want to be, because back to back, you end up going different directions. You want to be face forward and being able to have those serious conversations and letting them understand your heart, your emotions without. So men, look at this. This is what we are guilty of. All the men in here, ready for this? I'm about to call all of us out. We are fixers. So our spouse will be venting to us and we want to fix it. And she does not want you to fix it. She wants you to listen. Now, I'm not saying we never fix a situation. That's not the conversation. But the conversation to have with your spouse is this a listen conversation or a fix it conversation? Because so many times what leads to a fight is when she's venting to me and now I try to tell her how to fix it, and then she gets mad at me for me trying to tell her how to fix it when she was never even asking me how to fix it. And so what happens is there's a pride in us men of saying like, oh, there's an issue, I got this. You know, like rip off the shirt, S on the chest, Superman. That's not what she's looking for. She's looking for Clark Kent, not Superman right now. She's looking for someone just to listen. I'm telling you what, majority of the fights happen because somebody is not properly listening. There's a reason that God gave us one mouth and two ears. Okay? We should listen twice as hard as we try to speak to our spouse. And so I hope that helps you out, especially when it comes to the relationship aspect of the bickering, you know? And again, there's a lot of guys, a lot of women. You can go through our e-course that's coming out. It's going to be able to help you more, because the biggest thing is, and we say this all the time, your spouse is your number one book. You should always be studying them. Always be studying your spouse. Learning what makes them tick. Learning their love language. Learning their Enneagram. Learning their personality type. Guy seems like a pushover.
You guys are funny.
You are. Hey, so do me a favor also, if you have not done this yet, go ahead, hit that share button. You can also hit that plus button to see more of our content here on TikTok. But did you have another question you're looking for?
No, but they said we hate each other.
Who, you and I?
Yeah. If you guys got any more questions, just ask.
Yeah, so again, getting back to what sex looks like, especially if you get to a place where you find yourself like that it's becoming mundane, that's a conversation to have. It's healthy to have that conversation of what you want to do. Now, there is one thing, like, because Chrissy and I, like, you know, like when it comes to Jimmy Evans, he talks about this. We've talked about it, whether it's different kind of toys, different kind of things that you want to try in the bedroom. But one of the things that you never do is you don't bring pornography into the bedroom. Because what porn does is it begins to, one, you shouldn't just be looking at porn at all, because there's so many different mental things that go along with that just, I mean, mess up your brain completely. But it begins to compare one spouse to somebody else, and you don't want that. Mm-hmm. And even when you're saying, one of the things that I've recognized as for us and for other people that we've coached is not actually even comparing your spouse to somebody else. Well, they do this, you know, well, they do that.
Yeah.
That can bring a lot of comparison into your marriage, and there's no win in comparison. You don't want your spouse feeling like they're being compared to somebody else, especially in the bedroom. That's why it's so important that God actually had us, like, that he wanted us to remain pure before marriage, because there's such a danger in comparison in the bedroom.
I like this question. What if my wife watches it? You said it, I'm guessing porn, for ideas only. That's a slippery slope.
Yeah, because you can Google it. So there's a book that we read.
That's a good question, though.
Yeah, it is. Because it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
It makes sense because it's like, again, we're outside the Chargers facility. Somebody asked, where are you guys? We are in Huntington Beach, California. Right now we're in Costa Mesa. The Chargers will watch game film of other teams they're going to play to be prepared, right? It's so different when it comes to sex, though.
Yeah. I think this is such a unique area of our lives. Oh, this is the other thing that I wanted to say earlier. I want to encourage you, and it kind of pertains to this question. This is the only area in your marriage that you as a spouse can fulfill for your spouse. They can get affirmation and all this other stuff from, they can just whatever. You can get everything else from anybody else, from your family members, from work. You can get respect and love and all of that other things from anybody else. But sex is only from your spouse. You are the only person that can fulfill this with your spouse, biblically. Now, if you are not a follower of Jesus, you can do whatever you want. But we are followers of Christ. This is the way that we do this, and we believe that it works the best. And so, but that is such a slippery slope. You can get ideas in other ways other than letting that part into your marriage, because you could say now it's just for ideas, but then it's like, I don't know. I wouldn't. I just think it's a slippery slope.
Yeah, it's easy for that to become an addiction.
Yeah. That, I don't know. I wouldn't.
Easily. But there's different books to read. There's different articles online you can read. All kinds of different ways without like seeing visually to be like, oh, let's try that. Like that's not healthy at all. It said we lost connection. I hope it reconnects. Something else, you know, to think about is, we kind of talked about this, but we didn't hit on it completely, but is identifying your needs, you know, because a wife has needs, a man has needs. What are the different needs that it'll look like in your marriage when it comes to sex? Because too often we just assume we know what they want. Like there is so much to sex. Like, again, it could be, again, whether it's the communication beforehand, talking. One of the things that I love that Chrissy does is, like, even like the other day we were in the kitchen and we were just, I think we were making food or getting ready to make food or something. And we were just hugging and just talking, like, literally sexy to each other. Like, it's like warming up the engine before the night, you know, texting throughout the day. When it actually comes to us having, what else was it? Conversations, in the bedroom actually, and what that looks like. The conversation of how often, the conversation of what does she like, what do I like. Like, again, there's so many things that we miss, and it just, we miss it because we don't actually have the conversation. And then we end up getting bitter, because some of you, I bet you're upset with your spouse, even as we're talking about this, because you're like, I wish I could text my spouse sexy things. I wish that we could try different things in the bedroom. I wish we could try this or that. And you probably are bitter because you haven't talked to them about that. Now, again, what Chrissy and I offer, we do coaching, because some of you might be like, well, I have tried this and they don't even want to. They're not, whether it's, I don't think they're attracted to me anymore because they don't initiate. And it, ladies, let me just hit on that. It's so important. And I say ladies, whoever is the one that does not engage in sex the most, it's so important that you try to, because the other spouse, that turns them on when you engage in it.
Yeah.
When I feel like, and we've had this conversation, so again, coming from us, I've told Chrissy, when I feel like I'm always the one that has to engage, I don't feel like you're, whether it's attracted to me, like having sex with me, whatever it is. And so she's like, oh, because at her mind, she just doesn't think like that, especially compared to a dude who literally could have sex every day, you know?
And here's the thing, it's very complicated. As women, we have all of this stuff going on in our brains, and I'm not saying men don't, but I think men are more compartmentalized. When we can think about multiple things all of the time, we're thinking about our children, and somebody asked if we have kids. Yes, we have 4 kids. We're thinking, it's like a web, and it's all intertwined, and we're always trying to think about all the things at the same time. Whereas, like, for men,
it's a bike riding by.
Bicycle. For men, it's like, I'm in the bed with my wife. This is what I'm thinking about. I'm at work. You're more compartmentalized.
Listen, keep going.
No, and so we have to understand these things about each other. And so when you get there, you got to be there, women. But also, I do want to say this. Trust is a huge part of this, what we're talking about. If you can't trust your spouse, you are not going to be intimate with them.
So and what sucks about that is that intimacy and sex in the bedroom also builds trust throughout the relationship.
Yeah, it's like it's a cycle.
It is.
And so if there are deeper issues, you definitely need to find counseling and work those things out, because it is definitely hindering this part of your marriage.
The safest place in your life to have a serious, heartfelt, everything revealed conversation should be in your marriage.
No, we're not trying to generalize. We're speaking from us. So she says, I find it difficult when you generalize how men and women are. My husband isn't that way. And you're probably right, but we don't know everything. I don't know your spouse. That's why counseling one-on-one with someone who is licensed is very important. If you're having these deep issues, we're not generalizing. We're talking from our experience and what we've found with most people. That's why you can't just take what we're saying for face value. This is just a conversation to get people thinking maybe a little bit different and outside of their norm. If it's not working, if you have an awesome marriage, do what you're doing.
100%.
But if you're not, you need to be open and think, okay, how can I do it different? So I am not generalizing. If you need something very specific for you and your husband, you need to find somebody that's going to do that with you, and that's a counselor.
Yep. Because we are, like right now we have 400 people, 431 people on
now. I don't know all of you.
Exactly. So this is coming from what we have learned, what we've experienced, and then people that we've also coached and had conversations with have seen where they are missing certain things. So again, this is what's so important about having those conversations with your spouse, with each other.
Ashley, I like your question. What do you do when your spouse of 14 plus years hasn't shown affection for a few years, like no hugs and kisses? You know what? I think what I have found personally in the past with us is that obviously I don't know what's going on in your husband's life, whether it's his job. A lot of the times when someone is not doing well in one area, like their work, it affects their personal life. And if they don't feel adequate or respected or anything like that at work, sometimes it falls over. So maybe there's something going on with his job that's like stressing him out. I'm not sure.
I also, just to be blunt, guys, I'm a guy, so I can throw us under the bus. Us guys are not the smartest of creatures. We are like dogs. What gets rewarded gets repeated. You know, you say good boy, our tail wags, and we get excited. I think that for him, it's even letting him know you miss that, like that you want that, because his mind could be, I'm fulfilling Ashley's needs because I'm bringing home a paycheck. I'm fulfilling Ashley's needs because I'm keeping the house in order if he's a stay-at-home dad. I'm fulfilling Ashley's needs by blank. Again, so much of this intimacy comes down to communication.
Yeah.
And that's why, again, like in our new e-course that's coming out in September, which also is going to be on sale just for September only, we have a whole session that's just on communication, because it's so important in your relationship of what it looks like to actually let your spouse know what you want. Now, I do say this. When somebody is not being intimate, and again, I'm not sure, again, when you say showing affection, and like what Chrissy's been saying also, whether it comes down to us doing coaching, which coaching is not counseling, we give our insight, our opinion, biblical opinion, we're Christians. But what I've seen is that when people lack in intimacy, it's because they're lacking in something else.
Yeah.
And so it's so good to have those conversations to find out what is going on. Like, why isn't he hugging? Why isn't he kissing? And if you're like, I don't feel comfortable having a conversation with him without somebody else there, that's where we do like, you know, coaching and stuff, which is on our website. You can find out. But I hope that helps.
Yeah. It might not be you is what I'm saying.
Yep. Yeah. There could be a lot of other things. Somebody asked if we are swingers. No, we're not. We are.
Multiple people have asked that.
I know.
And no.
No.
I don't think swinging can be healthy for a relationship.
No.
That's a whole different conversation, I feel like. But I'm going to just give my flat answer of no.
She said, my husband used to give me hugs and kisses, but now he doesn't. I've told him what I need, but nothing. So here's something that Chrissy and I do. This is free, okay? So this is stuff that's in our e-course. We do a marriage checkup. And that's when we go on dates, we talk about, hey, what are three things I'm doing good? What's one thing I could work better on? Because what'll happen is sometimes we will unload on them everything they need to change and they feel defeated. So three things you're doing good, okay? Man, you love the children so well. You work so hard. You always spend quality time with me, which is my love language. But the one thing that I need more from you is I need you to be more intimate with me. I need you to hug me more. Because Chrissy and I've had that conversation. Yeah. Chrissy has told me, okay, so again, just us showing you we are not perfect. We don't have this all together. We are sharing with you what we're learning. Chrissy has told me, I feel like you only hug me and kiss me when you're trying to initiate sex. And so what do? I now try to hug her and kiss her before just initiating sex to show her I don't just want to have sex with you. I love you. Yeah. I love Chrissy. And so again, it's healthy, but we've also in our house created a safe space to have that conversation. I mean, I remember that conversation. We were like in the kitchen. It wasn't even like a serious, hey, we need to sit down and talk conversation. It was just like in a passing by because we've created that place where we can speak into each other and what our needs are and what our desires are. Mm-hmm. And so when she told me that, I'm like, okay, I got to store this in my head because I want her to feel. So even yesterday was my birthday and she was laying on the couch and I sat down and I just started rubbing her legs and her feet because she likes that. And I wasn't trying to initiate anything. I wasn't thinking about like, oh, later on I'm going to get this, you know, like it's no, I want to serve her because she said this is what she desires. Yeah. So again, it's those healthy places of knowing we can have this conversation without somebody feeling attacked. So again, that is a marriage checkup. What are three things I'm doing right? What are three things? Because again, what gets celebrated gets repeated. And then what's one thing that I can work on? And you share that with each other, whether it's on a date, whether it's on a drive, whether it's getting coffee, like we're doing right now.
Yeah.
So that's something to do.
I like this question. Anyone cheated in the relationship? Yes. We've had to walk through that. Do we even like each other? Yes, we do like each other. yes, it was before we were married and he cheated on me actually multiple times. And that is something that's really difficult to walk through. And I think the most important thing is humility if you're gonna reconcile. Like, we didn't have to reconcile at that point. We weren't married, we weren't even engaged. And so we both could have like walked away. So that was a different probably scenario. I don't know if you're married if you ask that question, but what it does need is humility on both parties. If you both are committed to make the relationship work, humility is necessary because there's a lot of things that need to be done in order to make that work. And so we talked about it. Mm-hmm. We did want to make it work. I could ask any question about any text, any phone call. I had all the passwords. Like, he had to build trust back up in our relationship. And so if you're not willing to do that, then that's a whole nother conversation. Yeah. But humility is very important if somebody cheated.
So, and one of the things to remember is that trust is earned in ounces and it's lost in gallons. And so if you're like, well, yeah, I cheated on him or her, but it's been a year, 2 years, six months, whatever it is, and they still don't trust me. You have to be patient because, again, you're the one who made the mistake.
Yeah.
You have to earn that trust and show it repeatedly. And matter of fact, what Chrissy and I found that's best for our relationship, and we've told so many people this, even because of me cheating on her while we were dating and before we were Christians, is that I started sharing my passwords and everything with her. And then we just brought that into our marriage where I have all her passwords, she has all my passwords, passcodes, whatever, that there is nothing that's hidden. So nothing could ever be, you know, there's nothing that could actually be there. Like, even underlying,
there's no potential for it.
That's it. There's no potential underlying even conversation, something that could happen. And what I appreciate about Chrissy is that she'll even tell me when she sees somebody, whether it's commenting on something, whether it's talking in person, whatever. And she's like, hey, I don't like the way that she's doing this. And right away, because she's got that discernment and that red flag, right away, I don't push back as her husband. I say, awesome. Like, thank you for seeing that, because I don't want to entertain anything and let anything into our relationship. Because what I'm doing is I'm trying to build on the foundation of Jesus, a relationship and a family that has legacy. Because I want our kids, like, can we just all be honest? In our world today, people don't know how to do marriage healthy. People don't know how to do family healthy. The nuclear family, as we've seen it, is just decomposing. What we've seen to be healthy throughout the years when it comes to relationship with a husband and wife is completely falling apart. And what we've even seen is that when people that are even Christians begin to hit a hard part in marriage, they just want to throw in the white towel, you know, wave the white flag, instead of like really working on it. So whether they're Christians that aren't showing, our society is not showing, politics aren't showing, whatever it is, school, my kids will see a healthy marriage by what's in the house. Yeah. And so I have to demonstrate that. Mm-hmm. And I have to, here's the thing for ladies and gentlemen, your children, if they do not apologize, it's because you don't apologize. If you're never apologizing to your spouse in front of them and teaching them what it is to say, I'm sorry because you messed up, why do you expect them to say you're sorry? Because you teach what you know, but you duplicate who you are.
Yeah.
If you're not liking your children, look in the mirror. Mm. Because every time I have to discipline Vivi, I'm like, this is me, you know? And mm. and that's what I'm figuring out. Like, how would I want to be disciplined right now? How would I want to change right now? So again, for Chrissy and I, the reason that we put such an emphasis on marriage and that we are enthusiasts about marriage is because of the legacy. That's not just about us. It's about our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren.
How did you tell her you cheated, or did you get caught? Well, at that point in our relationship, he didn't care. I think this was before we both gave our hearts to Jesus. We were not living for the Lord, and so we just kind of did whatever we... And I was not perfect either. And so... he didn't care. You didn't care about, I mean, we had the same friends, and so he wasn't hiding it. Yeah. I mean, is that accurate?
Yeah. Now, if you're obviously married and you're having the conversation, like, how do you have the conversation? It needs to be in a safe place because it's a volcano. Like, it's yeah. just understand that. But what I just taught the other day, so we just started a church and it's digital online. You can join us, vividca.church, every Sunday. But what I talked about the other day is in the Bible, Peter cuts off a dude's ear, okay? But Peter wasn't going for an ear. Nobody tries to cut off an ear. He was trying to cut off his head, you know, because they were trying to come and arrest Jesus. Jesus picks up the ear and heals it on the dude. But we still read about the story today. So what does that signify? It signifies that we make messes, but Jesus cleans them up. But your spouse isn't Jesus. Even if they're saved, they're not Jesus. So when you tell them that you've cheated or there's been whatever in the relationship, it's going to create a mess and it's going to take time. Like mm-hmm. there can be forgiveness that happens instantly, but the trust is going to take so much time to build up again.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be a volcano. I just want to warn you, but you might want, whether it's a counselor, a coaching, a pastor, a therapist, somebody in that session with
all
you,
all
of them at one time. And also do not make excuses. Well, you're never home. You're always working. You don't pay attention to me anymore. All those could be true. Cause like Chrissy and I believe this, if you've had an affair or they've had an affair, whoever had the affair, it is still never 100% somebody's fault. You also had a fault in this. Even if it's 99% your fault and 1% theirs,
yeah.
The spouse who didn't have the affair still has 1%. I appreciate this. I can't remember who it was. We were talking with some friends of ours and he was a struggling alcoholic. And her family was like, leave him, all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. He doesn't deserve you. He's messed up, yada, yada. And her response was, he is the one that's picking up the alcohol. He is the one that's getting drunk. He is the one that's, you know, hurting the family the most. But what part do I play in this? She reflected, what do I play in this? And she started getting help herself. Mm. And she saw from her getting help how he started changing and getting help too. Because this is it. It takes one person in the marriage to make it sink. It also takes one person in the marriage to make it swim. Like what we've seen in marriages is when both people are like, man, yep, we're just throwing the towel. That is when it's, but if one person's like, no, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. Sooner or later, that other person starts to believe. They start to believe that the marriage can last, yeah. that the marriage can succeed, that there can be love again, that there can be intimacy again, that there can be trust again, that there can be a marriage that when they walk down that wedding aisle the first time there was such love, that that same love can exist today. Not just the puppy love that always fades, but the real thing.
I think that's what's important too. If you look at a marriage that has lasted 60 years, right? If you talk to them and say, hey, was your life perfect? Did your spouse mess up? Did you mess up? The answer is going to be absolutely yes. But what makes it awesome is that they got through it. You're never going to talk to anybody that hasn't gone through something in their marriage. You can either let it kill your marriage or you can let it make it stronger. I want to be with somebody that I've been through crap with, mm-hmm. whether it was their fault or my fault or something external. Like, we have been through some really tough crap. Some of it was his fault. Some of it was my fault. Some of it was external. But I can say at the end of my life and my marriage that this, like, we did it. Your marriage is going to be the longest assignment of your life. Your children are going to move out after 18, 19, 20 years. Not that you're not going to be their parent anymore, but that assignment is not forever. Your job is an assignment, you know, whether you retire after 30 years or you get a new job every 10 years, whatever the case may be, they are short-term assignments. Your marriage is the longest assignment that you will ever have. It's gonna be the hardest thing that you ever do. It's gonna take the most of your time. It's gonna take everything that you have, but it's gonna be the most fulfilling thing at the end of your life to say, hey, we did it. And if you don't want to say that, then, you know, the first thing that gets hard in your marriage, it's going to trip you up and it's, you know, not going to be good. But if you have that mindset of like, I'm going to do this, we're going to get this and we're going to do it together and we're going to be closer and we're going to build a legacy. If you don't have a vision for your marriage, it's going to be very difficult. But we have talked, like I said earlier, like we've done multiple vision retreats. We have a vision for our whole marriage. Everything that we do is going towards a common goal. And if you don't have that in your marriage, you're probably not going to feel very fulfilled, mm-hmm. and you're going to go whichever the wind blows, and you're not going to feel like fulfilled. And so I'm telling you, I highly recommend vision retreats and really getting to the, like, why did we get married? Why are we married? I could have married anybody, but why did we get married? And yep. what are we going to do?
Yeah. So, because what we've seen also is that oftentimes you get married and they're such a fire, right? And then all of a sudden you just become roommates eventually. And so somebody again asked, what makes you such experts? We're not experts. We're just enthusiasts. We're just passionate about marriage. Too many times people are looking for the experts and the experts aren't doing anything. Like Chrissy used to be a behavioral analysis. Is that what it's called?
A behavioral therapist.
Yeah. You know, so there you have a therapist in the session.
No, you don't.
But what it looks like is that so many times people do want the experts, but what about the people that are just doing it? What yeah. about the people that are actually like, okay, maybe they're not an expert. Like, so we have some friends up in Michigan and they're not marriage experts, but they are marriage enthusiasts, Jim and Cindy Muldoon. And they've been married for so many years. They love Jesus. They love each other. They have children that have grown up and that are Christians. They have grandchildren. Like, they're those
successful
people.
Successful businesses. They've just had a really successful life.
Yep.
According to us.
Yes. Yeah. And you look at them, it's like, man, that's what we want. And that's all that we want to help with people. It's like, yep, we're not experts, but we're enthusiasts. We love each other. We love the Lord. We love our family. And we want to help you guys learn from our mistakes and what we've done and where we can get better. So I hope that helps out. So again, you know what? If you have not subscribed yet, hit that subscribe button, hit that plus button. And then also if you're on the podcast, rate and review us what you think. If you have any questions and you're on the podcast, you can go ahead and you can message us. You can go to themarriedlife.org. You can email us. You can check out our new e-course that's going to be coming out in September to help out with more communication. We talk about communication. We talk about sex. We talk about your relationship with Jesus and how that matters in your marriage.
Fighting fair is really important.
Oh my gosh, it's so important. So make sure, again, hit that subscribe button, hit that plus button, because we really want to help you. And again, we have stuff that comes up every day for marriage. So you can go back and watch our stuff on TikTok, on YouTube, wherever, to be able to help you out.
Get your free sticky notes. Did you say that?
I did not.
We have little sticky notes. These are really great resources. We're giving them away for free. So hit the link in our bio. It's just a little prompt to just tell your spouse why you love them. Put it on their window, their mirror, their coffee cup. We do it on our coffee cups. We use it for our kids on their lunch boxes, all that kind of stuff. But they're free. Hit the link in the bio, get yours today.
Yep. Misty, you said, I need all the help I can get at this point. So again, like what Chrissy just said, the link in our bio has got our information, especially those e-courses that are coming out in September that'll help you out. Those are also, like I said, in September only. It's going to be 25% off, so you can get those. And again, we're not saying that these are marriage experts that have done these e-courses. We're just enthusiasts. We've been doing this for 8 years now. We've done conferences. We're writing a book right now. We have 70,000 followers on TikTok. We have a podcast. What else have we done before?
I don't know either. Just stuff.
We just do stuff. And that's the thing, you know, like for you out there where you're even wondering, what do I do in marriage next? Just do something.
Yeah.
You know, just start somewhere. You get started by getting started. That's it. So if you need to start going on a date, you plan it. Don't wait for him to plan it. Don't wait for her to plan it. Don't wait for someone to get a babysitter. You do it. You start researching the five love languages. Somebody posted that. That's so important. Google and find out your love language. It's a free test. Learn your Enneagram. Learn their Enneagram. Learn their personality. Don't wait for the other person to take the initiative. You be the leader in the marriage. You be the leader in the relationship. You take the initiative.
That's good.
Anything else you want to say?
No.
Awesome. Well, hey, I'm Joe. This is Chrissy. Thanks for joining us on TikTok today. Thanks for joining us on the podcast today. Again, hit that plus button. Follow us for more. Rate and review us on the podcast so this can get out to more people. And every Monday we do this. This is Marriage Monday right here at the Lost Bean in Costa Mesa, where we like to get together and we have our little coffee date and we talk with you guys. So thanks again for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Also, don't forget, if you're looking for a church online, vividca.church, join us there. We're on YouTube, on Facebook. You can also just go to vividca.church. That's our website. So awesome. See you guys next time.